Welcome to another semester of Psych Mike. My name's Arati. I am the new Director of External Education, and our podcasts are an external education thing. With me, I have a completely new subcommittee, some familiar faces on podcasts, some completely new faces on podcasts, and I'd love for you guys to introduce yourself.
Hello. My name is Ryan. I am now an educational officer. Back at it, full circle, Freud roast party part two.
He's here to redeem himself. Let's go.
Hi. my name is Brian. I'm very happy to be in MUPA, education officer. And yeah, let's talk about Freud.
Hi, my name is Hannah. I'm a first year student, probably studying psychology, and it's my first time in MUPA education.
Slay. So today we have a very pressing issue. Not really. We've talked about this guy before. His name's Freud. Brian already mentioned him.
He also mentioned him. Oh, hey, Ryan also mentioned him.
Did Ryan mention Freud?
It's like Freud roast party.
Part two, bro. Okay, well, welcome. This is a Freud roast party part two. If you don't have a lot of contextual information, I recommend you go back and listen to our last Freud podcast.
Please don't.
Please do. Ryan just said please don't. Please do. But for the people who cannot be bothered, I will do a little bit of a spiel. So this guy's name is Sigmund Freud. He was born in 1856, died in 1939. I wonder why he died. We'll get into that. Some major contributions. So he developed the theory and practice of psychoanalysis, which is a method for treating psychological disorders through dialogue between a patient and a psychoanalyst. Cute. Unconscious mind. So he proposed the existence of the unconscious mind, which houses repressed thoughts and desires influencing behavior. We will also get into that. Defense mechanisms. He identified various defense mechanisms like repression, denial, and projection that protect the individual from anxiety. So real. Psychosexual development. So he introduced the stages of psychosexual development, such as the oral, anal, phallic, latency, and genital, and their impact on personality. For our new listeners to Psych Mike, as well as our new members, have an open mind for this podcast, please. He also, I don't know if you've seen the iceberg before, the id, ego, super ego iceberg. Yeah. Yes, Hannah is nodding yes. Brian said yes. For people who, just make sure you're speaking closer. If you, any reactions?
Yes, we have seen it.
Yes, thank you. So the id, ego, superego, which id is your instinctual drives, ego is the reality-oriented part, and superego is your moral standards. For people who have done third-year psychopathology of everyday life, that subject name is titled after a Freud work.
That's a Freud work?
Yeah, bro, from 1901. So if you're thinking of doing that subject, did we ever...
Maybe I don't take that subject.
We didn't even talk about Freud in that subject.
Really?
No, we didn't talk about Freud in that subject. Chris Groot just thought it was
a nice name.
I think that's what he
said. Yeah, if Chris Groot's... Dr. Chris Groot, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
If Dr. Chris Groot is listening,
please come on the podcast.
Yes, please come on our podcast. So, you know, he's had a profound impact on psychology and psychiatry and stuff, but his theories have been heavily criticized for a lack of empirical evidence, and his theories are basically entirely unscientific. There's no real experimental evidence, which, as psych majors, mainly...
You want empirical
evidence. You want evidence, right? Have we seen... What are your opinions of Freud so far? Like, have you seen anything in media or anything at all?
Just mommy issues. It's the first thing that comes to mind.
Real.
That is what he is most known for.
Yeah, man. And I'm glad you brought up mommy issues and not daddy issues, because daddy issues was another psychologist who was under Freud.
Oh.
He was like a Freud fan. You will know this if you go listen to the first Freud podcast. Yes, sir. All right. What about you, Hannah? What do you think?
So I read up and he was like, he's from Austria. So he's Austrian. Mm-hmm. And that's an immediate red flag.
Oh.
Why is Austria a red flag?
Oh. Why is Austrian guys are a red flag, and
is this from personal
experience? Yeah, is this personal experience?
Possibly.
Okay.
But besides that,
already controversial.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm saving you, Ryan. No, I'm kidding. But in reality, he actually was born with like a call, like a membrane sac over his face. Oh. And his mom, according to Wikipedia, his mom said that that was like a positive omen for his future. So she probably knew something was going to happen.
Brother, he came out of the womb suffocating.
Yeah,
so basically, all of his trashy ideas come from not having enough oxygen as soon as he was born. Therefore, he has an undeveloped or underdeveloped brain, probably.
That's not empirical evidence.
Yo, okay, look, you can put me on the same level as Freud right now, okay? Freud and I had the same level of evidence. Yeah. I have Wikipedia to back me up. Yeah. He didn't have anything.
Yeah. I didn't know he was, his findings were without empirical evidence. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, right?
He was a doctor.
Yes.
How did he become?
Yes.
It's giving source, trust me, bro.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I guess at that time as well, like psychology was such a new field. Like people didn't really think about the brain as a thing, apart from like the neuro side, but like, yeah, you know, emotions and stuff. So Freud was a pioneer, as they say. What do you think about Freud, Ryan?
I've had enough of Freud this past week. We'll get into that a bit later, but yes.
Yes. Have you guys come across any reels or TikToks about Freud ever? You know there's this like new era of spirituality that's come out because of Freud?
Really?
I think
Explain.
I sent it
now?
To...
Oh, God, in 2024?
Oh, my phone is there. I sent it to you then. Oh, yeah. What was her name? Gypsy
Rose Banjo?
Yeah.
It's actually?
No. So she's not the spirituality one. This is a different Freud thing.
But Freud, you would have loved how Gypsy Rose's now ex-husband, Ryan, looks exactly like her mother. And how her now baby daddy looks exactly like her father.
Wait, what is this?
Wait,
we should give context.
Did you watch it?
We should give context for people who don't know who Gypsy Rose Blanchard is what happened.
Yeah. Do you wanna talk about that?
Yeah. Okay, so basically, I don't know that well. Okay, everyone's breaking up. Like, everyone's crying right now.
You heard the name of the husband, right?
It's, what is
Ryan.
It?
Ryan.
Freud can't leave me alone.
No, but basically she is like, her mom like kept her
as a captive, basically.
As a captive, and she ended up like killing her mom, or her boyfriend at the time ended up killing her mom. But they both planned.
The mom kind of had it coming. Not gonna lie,
the mom was crazy.
The mom was insane.
Yeah, well, she's basically now an internet celebrity, which I'm not sure if that's good for her to be like that, because she basically
Stop
got.
Moving.
Aim from murder.
Yeah, but it's like, it's crazy to say that her now boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, because she's on a new man now.
Yeah. Oh, really? No. Yeah, so this that picture was her ex.
Yeah.
Husband, not even
ex-husband.
Boyfriend.
Yeah, she married him. But it's crazy to say that he looks like her mom, because her mom did so much crazy stuff to her.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, traumatic for her.
Yeah,
and
but, like...
we're like, on the internet, oh, she looks like the mom.
No, but she does. Did
yeah,
you
she
see?
Does.
Wait, what's that syndrome where you get, like...
Stockholm.
Do you know how many times I call it Stockholm syndrome? Like schnitzel syndrome is what I've called it.
Why?
I don't know. I think of Stockholm and schnitzel is the word
now
that comes
I want
out of
my
mouth. Let's go. After the podcast, let's go.
Yeah. Well, sure. I'm cooking tonight.
Yeah. And the other one was a new era of spirituality. It's like, oh, before spiritual awakening. So this is about overeating. And like before spiritual awakening, like I can't stop eating sweets. I eat a lot of them daily. There's just no reason. I'm just craving them. And after the spiritual awakening, it's like my mom stopped breastfeeding me very early. I'm compensating her milk and love with sweets. I need to heal my emotional wounds. It's a very Freud.
Yeah, because he has that. It's one of the psycho.
Yeah.
What is it? Psychosexual development stages.
Damn, how much did you read up? Because we have a trivia section coming up, and I don't
want
you to know.
I'm going to win, guys. No, because I watched a video, Sigmund Freud in 10 minutes, and it
explained
everything.
Oh, God. Ryan, I think your entire plan is coming to shambles.
I'm kidding. No.
Don't worry, I know nothing.
Thank you, Brian.
I will lose the trivia section.
Don't worry, I'm with you. And then the other thing is a Freudian slip. I'm sure everyone's heard about what a Freudian slip is. It's a mistake or error in speech that Freud believed revealed unconscious thoughts or desires. It's like saying, okay, we had a recent event. Yeah, we had a recent event in politics. Do you want to talk about it, Ryan?
So you guys may or may not have seen on the news that during one of the presidential, I don't think it was a presidential debate.
Oh,
It was basically Joe Biden, and he introduced the president of Ukraine as President Putin. As President Putin.
I saw.
He said
that.
Something else as well.
He also referred to his vice president as President Trump.
Yeah, instead of Kamala.
Like Kamala?
Yeah, instead of Kamala Harris. I think that's what he did.
Mamala?
Kamala.
Mamala.
Have you been seeing all the coconut tree edits?
Yes! It's a whole other topic, but like Kamala Harris is campaigning to like Gen Z is amazing.
She's not the one that's doing the campaigning. The Gen Z's are campaigning for her themselves. Yeah. Like the generation that holds so much power over media can vote now.
Have you seen her brat campaign?
Oh my god, yeah.
If I live. She's campaigning to the gays.
Yeah. As she should. Because what is Donald Trump going to do?
Did she make that campaign or was it just the
media?
She has
a marketing company.
She actually posted something related to Brett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
She has an entire campaign.
Like Charlie XCX tweeted, I endorse Kamala Harris, something like that.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Like, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. Oh, are you figuring out what else he said?
Yeah, so Joe Biden called Kamala Harris as Vice President Trump. And then he also referred to President Zelensky as President Putin.
That's crazy.
This was pre-Trump shooting, by the way.
Oh.
This cannot become a political podcast.
Yo, no, we're having fun. This is a fun and safe environment. We have a maximum of 8 people that listen to this podcast.
Period.
And none of them are in America, I think.
Well, to play devil's advocate, Biden is very old. How old is he? Like 80? 80?
I'll search it up right now.
And I think 82? He has dementia as well.
Yeah, like this is...
Alzheimer's.
This is borderline Alzheimer's right now. Is it Alzheimer's a form of dementia?
Dementia is
a
symptom of Alzheimer's. Oh. Okay.
I learned this last semester. Yeah.
Good on you, Brian.
Your tone, brother. Who do you think I was talking to? Let's move on. That is an example of a Freudian slip. But have either of you guys used? Is there a thought that haunts you every night where you use a Freudian slip? This is very
in crickets.
Does the saying,
take 10
like,
off.
The saying like "love you, mom" to a waiter counts?
Oh, do you is that because you consider
like
the waiter to be your mom, like a motherly figure? Is this coming from a place of trauma?
No, not like.
Let me explain. Yeah. Let me explain, man. Don't just put words in people's mouths.
Let Brian.
This is gonna be in the fucking end.
No,
I know
it's
it.
Not.
Sorry. None of you have done that. Like out in a restaurant, and they're just like, "Oh, have a nice day." Just like, "Okay, love you." I'm just like, "Oh."
Oh damn! You love your waiters, bro. According to Freud.
Hey, they bring me food, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're paying an overpriced amount usually.
Not in Malaysia.
Okay, so true, so true. Guys, what's up with Australian food? It's getting kind of. Anyways, let's get started with Ryan's section.
Welcome to Freud Trivia. How this works is I have about 10 questions, or 10 to 20 questions. They're split into
That's
two
not 10
rounds.
Questions.
They're split into two rounds, an easy round and a hard round. And we'll see how many trivia questions you guys can get correctly.
Slay.
All
right, let's get started.
All right. Just a heads up. I feel like these are pretty niche trivia questions relating to Freud. If you've only done surface level research on Freud, it's unlikely you would come across this. So getting straight into it. Also, I need you guys to keep a very open mind. Because
insanely
open mind. Because what we're going to, what we're talking about next is, I don't want to say, I don't want to say controversial. It's just very crude.
Okay.
And very, it's a different way of thinking.
We expected this coming into this.
Once again, this is Freud as a, I'm not speaking into it as well. But once again, we must consider Freud as an individual, He was a disgusting human being. Just my opinion. This is a roast party. I'm allowed to say whatever I want. Right? Keep an open mind. Let's go.
Question one. Why is that so funny?
No, that was the most life I've heard out of you this entire podcast. Question one.
Question one. What is the term for relating to or exhibiting infantile sexual tendencies in which the genitals are not yet identified as the sole or principal sexual organs, nor coitus as the goal of erotic activity? So to sum that up, Freud's asking, oh, not Freud. We're asking.
You are Freud.
Freudian slip right here. Oh my God. Basically, the question is asking, what is the term used when infants have sexual tendencies that are not exclusive to sex?
Because they don't know what. I'm not speaking. They don't know what sex is yet, right?
Yeah.
So, what is it called?
Can you give us options?
Maybe.
Yeah, is this an MCQ like type thing? Can we buy a letter? Can we phone a friend?
I mean,
give us a vowel.
I didn't put down any options. I just have the answer.
Okay. Well.
Well, it is called.
It's two words. That's two words.
Okay. One of them is perversity. Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. So
perversity.
The answer is, he termed this polymorphous perversity.
How do you expect us to get that?
Right. I think we need
polymorphous.
Polymorphous.
What does polymorphous mean?
So to break that down, poly means many, like polygon, many. Morphous means, I think, form. Polymorphous perversity would be to
be a pervert in many forms.
To be a pervert about many forms. So basically, this theory is basically saying that infantile sexual energy is not directed towards sex yet, and includes many different objects, basically. So your things like anything that gives an infant pleasure would probably be counted towards polymorphous perversity.
Okay.
That's what
sure.
He
was. The thing is, right, how is an infant's pleasure, like, sexual? Do you get what I mean? Like, being held by your mother, yes, that's pleasure, but that's like, I'm happy, I'm in my mother's arms.
Why was he thinking about, like, infants
exactly.
receiving pleasure?
Why this is giving Drake 1900 era. Yeah. Right?
Siri, play Kendrick Lamar.
See, I keep trying to reach for my phone, but cool. You want to go for number two? Yes. Oh, do you want me to go? Okay, all right. So this is back on infantile sexuality. What are the two instances occurring?
This is going to get red flagged. This podcast is going to get red flagged.
We said worse stuff in the first podcast.
So you're telling us we have to up the ante.
Sure. What are the two instances occurring in infants that show infantile sexuality? So what do you think are two actions that infants do, just in general, just biologically, that Freud considered to be sexual in nature?
Breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah. If it's not on there, I'll be very worried.
Well, the thing is, it's similar. He likened it to breastfeeding. Because he saw breastfeeding as a sexual act.
Like, so it's not breastfeeding?
Like sucking on the nipple? I don't know. That specifically?
No. You got the first two words right.
Sucking on? The thumb.
Look at you go!
Oh,
whoa!
It's just the act of...
Yeah, just sucking on your thumb, which a lot of kids thumb. Do. Right?
He thought that was sexual?
Yeah, so it's likened to sucking on your mom's nipple, which is apparently... attached to sexual satisfaction, which is also attached to your self-preservation functions. Because apparently sexual satisfaction is a self-preservation.
Sure. Yeah.
So to elaborate on that, he basically argued that an infant's sexual satisfaction, or anybody's in general, is first attached to an organism's self-preservation function, so like survival. Which is sucking on the mother's nipple for nutrients, like breastfeeding. And then he says only afterwards, when you grow up, does the sexual satisfaction become independent to your survival. So it's, basically,
it's giving,
but like the whole, like why is he thinking about this?
Giving
stuff?
Degenerate incel,
exactly.
It's giving degenerate incel.
Literally, like, do you think about these sort of things on a daily basis? I would probably have to flag you with the police if you said yes. yeah, no. Can we? Oh, we. This is a Freud cancellation party, so.
So the other instance that he argued that infants showed sexuality was something he termed autoeroticism, which is in today's terms mean like it's basically meaning you're suddenly horny without reason.
Okay, period.
Like just out of but sure. But towards infants, and oh, it's
towards,
oh no, no like no, as, no. A, oh, as an infant, yeah. As an infant, yeah. As an infant, as an infant, okay. As an infant, but like. It's mind-boggling because how would he know that? How would he know that an infant would be suddenly horny? And he's just basically, I want to say he's like projecting himself onto Freud.
He is.
He had like five kids as well, right?
Yeah,
he
and then there was one that was extremely codependent, and it was like
the daughter.
Yeah, Anne.
Isn't one of them also a lesbian?
That's the one.
The what?
That's wow. The one. The codependent one.
She turned out to be a lesbian.
Well. They theorized that. And the movie that came out, the Freud movie, so the Freud movie is basically just this conversation between C.S. Lewis, who wrote Narnia, and Freud, like a couple of days after World War II started. And that movie kind of confirms that Freud's daughter was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Well, it was going to... Oh, yeah. You know how you said projecting? I've got a theory.
Yeah.
You know how you know how you said that Freud was born with a sack over his head?
Yeah. It's called a caul, C-A-U-L. I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, he was born with a sack over his head, okay? Do you think that the brain degeneration, deoxygenation that happened there made him have nasty thoughts at a young age?
Possibly.
Guys, come on, I need a result.
I feel like that won't give you brain degeneration.
Real? Because it's like...
Yeah, because I think a lot of people get that.
But, like, if you don't...
A lot of people get brain degeneration.
I don't know, is this person in the room? I'm, like, excluding who? You said three of us in the room.
Excluding Ryan. I'm joking. But that's a possible thought. Maybe it's just, like, his upbringing.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, crazy biologically, if a child is born and they're not breathing within, like, the first couple of minutes, that automatically leads to brain degeneration. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. Just a theory. Considering Freud can make theories, I can make theories too. Yeah. I just won't be able to publish them in today's society. Huh?
Ask Reddit.
Should we?
Oh, Reddit will have too much to say.
Yeah, let's.
We did not go to Reddit.
All right, next question.
Next question. What did Freud term as the stage in female psychosocial development where the girl experiences anxiety or stress upon the realization that she lacks a penis?
Is it penis envy?
Correct! No! Penis envy! Let's go,
also,
Hannah!
I just want to say great drag queen name, penis envy.
Right?
Oh great my, drag
oh
queen
my,
name.
Penis envy.
Wait, so penis envy, I thought it's like when a girl wants a penis.
Yeah.
Like to have a penis.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's basically you're jealous, bro.
So you are jealous of someone who has one.
Yeah, but like, metaphorically, big dick energy, guys, come on.
I was like looking at you so seriously, like what she's gonna say.
Yeah, she's gonna say something so insightful. Yeah.
You think I'd say something insightful?
She's gonna say something.
Yeah.
To expand on that, in Freudian theory, the penis envy stage begins the transition from attachment to the mother to competition with the mother.
Oh.
Right? And affection for the father.
Oh.
Additionally, he also felt that penis envy led to giving up on phallic activity in females, aka clitoral masturbation. This is all on Wikipedia, by the way.
Mm-hmm. We can't get flagged for this.
Yeah. Also a symbolic equivalence between penis and child. Yeah.
Nice. All right, next question. What did Freud term as the overwhelming fear of damage, disfigurement, or loss of the penis? It's actually not that hard.
Hint.
Yeah.
This is the male equivalent
of penis,
of
envy.
Penis envy. Or like similar.
What, vaginal envy?
Like the counterpart.
No. Penis envy is like you're jealous of someone because they don't have a penis. Yeah. This one's you're scared that you're going to lose your penis.
Like castration?
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
Castration.
You're worried.
Castration anxiety.
Correct.
Oh, shit.
Okay, let's go. Period.
I remember that in the video.
Cool. So castration anxiety is a stage in the male psychosocial development where the boy realizes the absence of the penis in females may mean that their own penis will be cut off by the father as punishment for desiring the mother during the Oedipus complex. Do we know the Oedipus complex?
Yeah. The mommy issue complex.
Real.
It's like you want to have sex with your mom and then kill your dad, right?
Yeah, Ryan, right?
Oh, yeah, Ryan.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't know.
Guys, listen to the first podcast.
But yeah, if you want to know more about the Oedipus complex, please go listen to our first Freud podcast.
Also, isn't Oedipus like a Greek
guy?
Greek guy who also like fucked his mom or something?
Accidentally.
How do you accidentally
do stuff with your mother? Okay, you know what? I'm just going to talk about the Oedipus complex now, all right? So basically, this guy was born and he was separated from his parents. He went on to become this huge guy in another city. And then he came in, like, Loki conquered the city. But the king and the queen at the time were his parents, basically, right? And to take over the city, he had to kill his dad, who was the king. And then that meant he got to keep the queen, who was actually his mom. And he didn't know it was his mom. But then he figured out it was his mom. And he gouged his eyes out and basically committed suicide.
Real.
Good response.
Fierce.
Like. Real.
Fierce.
See, like, he felt remorse. Yeah. Like, that is a mitigating...
Freud doesn't feel response.
Remorse. Bro, yeah. No.
Freud feels a lot of responses.
He feels responses. Yeah. Not remorse. But yeah. See, that's a mitigating factor. Like, I'm not entirely blaming Oedipus.
Yeah, like, as he should.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, like, Oedipus gets so much... Is it flack?
Yeah, he gets
so much flack just because it related to, like, a Freud theory. Like, it wasn't Oedipus. Like, Freud is a disgusting human being. Was, sorry, rest in peace.
He's looking up at us right now. I'm joking.
No,
that's the spirit.
I'm joking.
See, Freud was a disgusting human being. I don't know. Did he feel anything for his mother? Do we know?
I didn't look that up, but I was just going on. But he was really bad to his wife. Like,
I read their engagement files.
Like, before they got engaged. And, like,
What happened? What was the relationship between him?
So before he even got married to his wife, I think like basically, he wanted to see her as like in a mom figure.
Oh my lord!
And also, wait, I wrote this down, but like he got jealous. He feared that his wife's everyday tasks would like with or without children was gonna like rob. Him of her attention.
His mommy time?
Mommy.
Yeah, his mommy time.
Bro, this would be a good time to bring up mommy issues again. We did this in the last podcast. Okay.
So, like, basically, he's just crazy. He's just, like, insane. He just doesn't want his
Real.
Wife. Yeah, he wants to control his wife.
It's the way that mommy issues have come into the current age as well now.
Have you guys seen The Boys? TV show?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh, wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Yo.
For someone who hasn't watched The Boys, please explain.
The Boys TV, do you guys want to do that?
I don't know enough about it.
I literally, like a few days ago, I was at my friend's house and it was like 12 midnight and we decided to put it on, but only one episode. And I don't want to say the name of the episode because it's bad. But so that's how I found out. So I just found out about this TV show.
It's basically a TV show about superhumans. And it's basically a world if superhumans could lead the world. A universe where superhumans lead the world under massive, like a monopoly. There's a big corporation called Vought that controls everything. And one of the main superhumans in the show, they're called Supes, is a Superman clone called Homelander. And this man, I don't want to say man, this boy, this boy has massive mommy issues. Like Homelander is the definition of a Freudian child.
I was watching like a TikTok about like these people going to like a restaurant that was inspired by the boys. Like these people were going to a restaurant inspired by the boys. And the first thing that they were given was like a milk bottle.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with the show?
Yeah. Because the show is, it's I think it's R-rated, but Homelander has a severe addiction to being breastfed.
That's Freud, basically. Yeah.
Isn't there like also several clips of him like
there is
like laying in laps of there women is. Who there look is. Like his mother and literally like forcing the shapeshifter to become to look like his mother so he can like
his mother figure,
like his motherly figure and everything. It's kind of crazy. Highly recommend the show, but it's crazy.
It's a good show if you have the stomach for that. Yeah.
You know what I think should be a thing? Mandated therapy. This is literally a reason
I have so much to say about mandated
for
therapy.
Mandated, like you know, like you
podcast
know how
idea.
Yeah, you know how people have like yearly checkups, like whole body checkups. Why is your brain not part of that checkup? Just one. What are you saying?
That's very true.
Right.
Probably more important than it probably affects your other parts of your body.
Exactly.
As well. Yeah.
Startup idea.
Let's go. Startup idea. Right? I should not be. Okay. No. Okay. Next. Go.
Moving swiftly on.
That's a great cut. That was a great cut.
What is the name of the dream that led to Freud's analysis and theory of wish fulfillment?
Was this like the elephant thing, or am I thinking about something else?
I don't think this was the elephant theory. He basically had a dream. He named his dream, and then he analyzed his dream and came to a conclusion. He basically formed a theory out of his dream. The dream is called Irma's Rejection. Does that ring any bells? Ring any bells?
Talk about
no.
It.
And then found the name for the dream.
So before we talk about the dream, his theory of wish fulfillment is basically when unconscious desires are satisfied through an involuntary process, aka dreams or daydreams. So if you've been wanting, like to give a very brief example, say you wanted a bag in real life and you dreamed that you bought the bag in real life, then you would have had a wish fulfillment. Make sense?
Follows.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in his dream, he was examining a patient of his called Irma, a female patient. And when he looked down the back of her throat, he saw a white scab on the top of her mouth. And he also asked a colleague for a second opinion on Irma's condition. And he interpreted it as reimagining of a time when Freud asked a more experienced colleague for help after he prescribed a toxic drug to one of his patients.
Medical malpractice, who?
Basically.
That white scab probably could have just been like tonsillitis or something.
No, you use a white scab. That's like literally the common symptom of a throat infection.
Yeah,
just like a viral or bacterial throat infection. And what did he give her? Cocaine, was it?
Yeah.
Yo.
Well.
Did it ruin it?
All right, hold on. I think in real life, he was one of the first to recommend cocaine for actual treatment of actual patients back in the day.
I mean, if you're high enough, you can really get through anything. That's a clip.
Good one. But also that... He interpreted the white scab as his own deteriorating health, actually. I think it was the amount of tobacco he was smoking.
I thought that was going to be a question.
I have something to say about tobacco.
Let's go.
Yeah, go ahead.
And yeah, I was literally going to say, like, when you were talking about deteriorating health, I was like, he probably just smoked too much.
Yeah.
He actually told his colleague that in 1897... that, like, addictions, like tobacco addictions or just addictions, were substitutes for masturbation.
Yo, my
masturbation
wasn't
as if masturbation wasn't an addiction in itself. Like,
it's a whole like pleasure principle thing.
But the thing is, this guy was smoking like 31 cigars a day or something. So, someone's making up for something.
He's just
connecting.
That's roasting him, yeah.
In his analysis, when he saw the white scab, he interpreted it as one of his daughter's illnesses and the difficulties that his family went through at the time, and the fact that he frequently used cocaine as treatment. And he learned that a dear friend of his has died because of it.
Cocaine or?
Do we know if Freud used any cocaine?
I mean,
definitely.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. Maybe. On the turbinal bone. Hey, look, let me use my anatomy for this. Hold on.
I just imagine Freud talking to his patient. So I use cocaine for this and this, and I highly recommend it.
Let me recommend this powder.
Honestly, I would kill to see like Sigmund Freud and Andrew Tate in a podcast. Oh my I would kill that. I would kill to watch that.
Oh my God.
Brother.
In the future. What?
This woman had an infection. That's it. It was just a throat infection.
You want to overthink.
It was just a bacterial or a viral throat infection. Antibiotics weren't a thing, but she could have gotten through it.
Yeah.
He didn't give her a cocaine. He led to her death. It was the cocaine that made her die, probably. Bro, what if she had like high blood pressure?
Yeah.
And then like you gave her cocaine, which...
Well, a throat infection is crazy.
Right? Well, the thing is...
Back then.
Like cough syrup used to have cocaine in it.
Yeah. Mm. Like Coca-Cola had cocaine.
Right? Yeah, I was gonna, like, is that a real thing? But yeah.
Yeah, like, medicine was always a bit of a question mark then.
Yeah. So maybe this was from Freud's guilt of killing this patient by giving her cocaine. Guys, I'm psychoanalyzing him right now. I'm falling into his own trap.
He did see the dream as an opportunity to criticize himself. The medical mistakes that he had made in the past. One of his colleagues, his name was Dr. M. I don't actually know what his actual name is, but Dr. M basically reassured Freud that the symptoms of Irma in the dream had nothing to do with him, and Freud believed this so much that he shifted the blame for Irma's illness because he believed his treatment could not have caused such an infection.
Classic, complex, classic, what's the word? Incel complex. Sorry, that was the only word that was in the forefront of my mind. I'm sure I had an actual word there, but my brain is starting to turn off on itself after reading all this stuff. Okay. Next question. According to Freud, what are the two primary parts or aspects of a dream? Actually quite easy, but
the plot.
The plot.
The plot. Do it for the plot.
Yeah, real. I think Freud did everything for the plot, to be honest.
Honestly, it would be so funny if it was just like a fake it to make it kind of person and he got this far.
Yeah. Oh, that would actually be.
He just wanted to be famous.
Freud is a fraud.
Exactly.
Freud is a fraud. New podcast name. Oh, shit. Okay. Thank you. I will be doing that when we upload this. But yeah, all right. So it was Freud believed every dream had manifest and latent content. So those are the two primary aspects. The manifest content is the conscious experiences and memory of the dream, and the latent content is the representations of suppressed desires in relation to the dream. So the manifest content is your normal dream that you, like, you know, you wake up and you remember the details. Latent is trying to find a meaning from the parts of your dream that you remember, basically. So it's basically what everyone does nowadays. Like, kids, like, I dreamed. What was the one that we had recently? I dreamed of two twin boys. What does that mean?
Huh? The Shining. I don't know.
Yeah, The Shining.
Yeah.
I said The Tale of Two Sisters.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the only one that's come to my brain. What's a recent dream that you guys have had that you remember? You want to go?
Oh, shit. I don't know why I remembered this dream, but I remembered every single detail of this dream that I've had. And this was last week. And I wrote down a whole
oh my god.
Basically essay paragraph of what happened.
Why is your image as well?
Yeah, because I remembered the layout of the house that I was in the dream. I remember all the people who was there, and yeah. I didn't psychoanalyze it.
Let's psychoanalyze it right now.
Let's do it.
This is so psychoanalyze right now.
This could be like the exclusive,
the key details.
Basically, me and a bunch of people, my friend, were invited to a lodging on a hill by a mysterious person who promised us a fun night.
That's a Mupa retreat.
Guys,
but this was
the mysterious person is around me.
Was I not part of your friends? Probably not.
You are not. But I didn't know who the mysterious man was.
Oh, it's a man. So, guys.
Or mysterious person. So it could have been you. But again, this was before I found out about retreat, so I'm not too sure.
What if this dream was a premonition for the retreat? This is latent content. I'm scared.
Girl.
You might not want to say that.
Basically, there was a point where the mysterious person came down with a vest. It was either a vest or a straitjacket. He told me to put it on, which I did. And then...
Kinky, okay.
Okay, and then I had my back facing him, and suddenly there was this sharp pain that shot down my spine, and I immediately collapsed to the ground. I don't know what he did, but I feel like he shot a bullet at me or something. But I also stood back up immediately after, which was weird. And then... A lot of my friends were there too, but one of them left before anything else happened. One of them was high on weed and bongs, and then the other one was just sitting next to a pillar that was apparently in a house, looking lifeless. Yeah, and that was basically it.
Period.
Let's latent content this shit. Sorry, Scott.
I've already sweared like 3 times. Sorry,
but see, not. Like yours was in between the noise. Sorry, Scott. Ryan has something else to say.
Also, towards the end of the dream, before I wake up, there was. So I was singing this. I was seeing the front of the house, the front entrance, and there was 2 black cats walking out of the door, and then towards the front entrance, there was tripwires that connected to suspicious-looking boxes. One of the cats went, like, they walked onto the tripwire. And I kid you not, if you played Elden Ring...
Oh, my God.
Malekith, the Black Blade, appeared out of the boxes and swiped one of the cats.
That's so fucking funny.
That is the most random thing that
I'm sorry, Scott.
We're keeping it in.
That is the most random series of events that has ever happened to me in a dream.
I feel like dreams always happen like that, though. It gets really serious, and then by the end, when you're about to wake up, they're just like, let's just toss whatever's in there.
Did this happen straight after you finished the Elden Ring DLC?
Yeah, I think you just played too much Elden Ring.
This was last week. I finished Elden Ring like...
Ages ago.
For those who don't know, Malekith the Black Blade is basically a big wolf. A big wolf with a big sword. Look him up, and you'll see what he looks like. From
we're cutting this breakout. Honestly, there isn't much for Scott to edit out. It's been much worse. We've done.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
How are you
doing? Adam's gonna be there too tomorrow on Thursday.
Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hello.
Hi, future Roddy.
Aw. Aw. Oh. Did you want to say? Latent content this.
Give me your best latent content.
Okay, so your one friend that went away, are they still in your life?
They are not.
Oh, actually.
Oh, period.
not in the sense that, well, this is a friend from high school. I haven't talked to her in a while. That's all.
And was I wrong? I wasn't wrong about your friend not being in your life anymore. Okay, that's one done. Okay.
Like the whole like straight jacketing, do you feel like restricted in your daily life nowadays?
Like internally, do you feel like you're holding back?
Do you feel that's like some you're like a RuPaul says in a saboteur, like holding you back stuff?
I don't actually know. I've never thought of it. I never thought about that. No, I don't actually feel restricted recently.
That could explain you getting back up.
I could.
But recently.
Resilience,
like Lulu said.
Yeah, resilience.
Recently. Okay, cool. What's the next?
We gotta keep going.
Yeah. Okay. What was the other friend? The other friend was you got shot in the back.
That was a straight jacket.
But you got shot in the back. When I was wearing the straight jacket. Yeah, but you got shot in the back.
Back shots.
Whoa! Okay. I am straight.
Please clip that. Please clip that.
Straight jacket and back shots, man.
No, like you got Tuesday shot night. In the back. Do you think you're gonna be stabbed in the back by someone?
Oh. Why didn't you just say that?
I think it's the three of us who don't have that thing over our head.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we were born with a sack.
Yeah, we're born with a sack over our head.
Okay.
I hope not. That's for sure. I don't see anybody who has the motive to do that.
It could be in the gaming world or something like that. Who knows? Some stage. Anyways, what else? There was a friend that was high.
I mean, that's just...
I think I can explain that. So he's one of my childhood mates that I've known for a very long time. He's currently studying in America, which...
Where weed is legal. Yeah. In some places.
Yeah. Weed, smoking. That's specific. But he was like... face down on the table, kind of just lying there with
man's
a bong.
Greened out?
Yeah, probably.
Greened out, is that what you say?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, greened out.
Yeah. Hey, I wouldn't know. I'm sorry.
I have too many friends that do weed.
How do you know?
I have too many friends that smoke weed.
I mean, it's Melbourne.
It's
Melbourne. What was another part? Oh, your friend that looked like they were spacing out next to a pillar?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Ryan just said he doesn't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
Yeah, well, okay, let's...
I did speak to this friend recently.
Okay, can you speak into
it? I did speak to this friend recently, but that doesn't explain why he was just spacing out.
Maybe you feel disconnected to him. Because.
Because.
Maybe. Because we were talking about, he was talking to me about going to the police station to file registration. Either that or he was going to get deported.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But that's all I know.
Are they
okay? Very interesting lore and interesting friends.
Can one podcast just be Ryan?
he's in Amsterdam. So he probably missed his visa or something. I don't know.
Slay? Two cats. Two black cats.
I mean, black cats are always like an unlucky omen and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, well, one of them got slashed and killed and
means your luck might be turning around. I don't know. I'm trying my best.
You gave fortune teller right there, though.
Thank you.
Was very... Okay, you're telling us to move on? Okay, let's move on.
That'd be too into deep now.
We just spent like 5 minutes psychoanalyzing your dream.
Moving on. What was the nickname that Freud gave to a patient whose case study was published in Notes Upon a Case of Obsessional Neurosis?
It's the little Hans thing, or is that someone?
It's
else?
No, but it's he.
Yeah, can you say that? It's something man.
Something
it's
man.
It's an animal. He named it. He named this patient because of his obsession with this animal.
You recently called me this.
I did. I hate to admit it, but I did.
Yeah. Was it insulting?
Was it as an insult?
No, of course not.
Bird?
Did you say it?
Bird?
Wait, what did you say before?
I asked whether it was an insult. I said giraffe.
It's
you say bird? Okay.
The nickname he gave was Ratsman.
Oh,
Ratman.
I was thinking about that.
You were thinking of Ratman?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Splinter?
Yeah, like Splinter or Ratman. Basically what happened was this patient came up to him with many compulsions regarding nightmarish fantasies about rats. So this patient's name was Ernst Lanzer, who had obsessions and compulsions regarding murder and suicide after being told the infamous Chinese rat torture method. If you guys have heard of that.
What is that method?
So what they do back in China is that they would lay a person on a table and restrain him. They would put a rat on his stomach and a pot
And a what over it?
A pot.
Yeah,
a
I know
pot
what happened,
over it,
yeah.
And then they would heat up the pot so the rat would chew its way out, basically, of the person and escape.
So this guy found out about it and he got nightmares.
Yeah, he basically got.
What?
What did you say?
He got pussy.
He got very scared and anxious about it. And then Freud named him the Rat Man.
Freud is so unserious.
Freud like, is
real,
not
though.
Taking his patients seriously. Yeah. Like.
Also that this patient would sometimes open his bedroom door. He was talking to Freud about this.
Yeah.
He said he would open his bedroom door and he would see his deceased father's ghost, and then that he would stare at his own penis sometimes using a mirror.
I was like, what?
Wait, yeah, both at the same time?
What? Where's the relation? But yeah. Okay.
Exactly. I have
also, could he like, did he just like unlock some like latent schizophrenia or something? Because I'm just saying, like, delusions, hallucinations is just kind of like.
Yeah, he probably did. Anyways, Freud, he published this case study just to show that psychoanalysis can be successful.
Short term,
yeah. It was later seen that his treatment only has as much efficacy as short term therapy.
What was his treatment for the rat man?
I think it was just like psychoanalysis.
Okay.
Basically just talking through it. Just having a convo.
Just therapy?
Yeah, guys. Having a heart to heart with your friends is as effective as Freud's therapeutic methods. Basically. Talk to your friends more often. Wholesome.
This is a PSA.
All right, next section.
Next.
All right, so what was a nickname that Freud gave to a patient who was suffering from hysteria?
Specifically, aphonia.
Aphonia? What's what aphonia is?
No. Is it something to do with sound?
Yeah, aphonia is basically you're mute.
Oh.
Oh.
So wait, so they were so scared they went mute?
Yeah.
Ryan said yes. Cool, yeah. So this name is actually a name that we all know.
Dr. Chris Kruger.
No! Okay!
We know this name from a cartoon, but Freud obviously wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
It's
a
cartoon from where?
Cartoon from where?
It's a...
Well, saying the name of the cartoon would spoil it.
Is it like a Disney Channel, like a Nickelodeon? Like, give me a Nickelodeon. Oh, okay. We're getting close.
It's an educational cartoon.
Is it?
Is it not?
What is it about? Like a guy who's Phineas and Ferb?
No.
Oh.
Ferb. I'll give you three guesses and then I'll start humming the theme song and then you have to get it. So I'll guess one. Guess two. Go.
What was a Nickelodeon?
They would frequently interact with the audience, the target audience.
Dora.
Let's go.
Oh,
Dora. Dora. Yeah, so Dora the Explorer. Yeah.
He named it Dora, the patient Dora.
Yeah. And her history.
Why does he have so many nicknames for his patient?
Exactly. That's
He's
kind of okay.
Crossing a boundary.
Okay, but the thing is, right? Patient confidentiality.
Yeah.
Like, would you rather be called a rat man or have everyone know that you have dreams of your dead father? Right. Oh, not dreams. You basically see your dead father, according to Freud, and look at your penis in a mirror. Like, I would rather be called a rat man instead of have my name out in public, right? So maybe Freud did something good with his life.
Yeah, maybe he was. Like, he was an empath. He was an empath.
I think Freud would do well in modern psychology or just modern times.
Oh.
Anyways, Dora was presented to Freud by her father. Dora accused her K, the partner of Fro K. Oh, so she accused her father. She accused friends.
What did you write?
Okay, no, hold on. Let me start again. Dora was presented to Freud by her father. Dora accused a family friend. This guy's a guy, right? She accused a family friend who was friends with Dora's parents of sexually advancing on her when she slapped the family friend across. There's a real life example there. Sorry, guys. So she...
If you guys aren't here, Arati basically slapped herself when I said
So she basically slapped the family friend, the guy across the face. And she says that was him sexually advancing on her. So
wait,
basically,
her slapping him was the sexual
advance. Okay, let's get
right
into it.
So what happened was Dora's family was also, their house had another couple living with them. And the guy of that couple basically sexually advanced on Dora.
Oh.
And the father brought Dora to Freud after Dora slapped him on the face after his sexual advancement.
Because dad thought she was like, why is she slapping me?
Also, but like, self-defense, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Like, okay, anyways, continuing.
Why are all the men in her life, like, against her?
Right, so Dora told Freud that her father had a fling with the family friend's wife, so the wife in the couple, and Dora felt her father was ignoring her.
I mean...
So your arm's going to go the other way now. It's,
Yeah, I'm there.
All right, so Freud pushed his interpretation that Dora had an attraction to the guy family friend, then alienated Dora, so what Dora felt her father did. And he terminated her treatment after 11 weeks because he considered her a therapeutic failure. Yeah.
Wow.
So Freud saw Dora's aphonia, so the muteness she got from this situation, as a representation of a jealousy towards her father's relationship with the wife in the couple, sprinkled with her mixed feelings towards the guy in the couple's sexual advances. Yeah. There's no need. Guys, just... He jumped off a cliff into conclusions.
Really, a doctor, he's not that smart. Like,
okay, maybe he's...
I mean, we're still talking about him today.
Because he's cancelable. That is current media.
Freud would be such, like, a good influencer today.
Influence? Oh,
influencer.
He'd
be such a good influencer.
Influencer, yeah, bro. Getting all them... What do pedophiles get as influencer deals nowadays? What does Drake have? Wait, wasn't that gamer guy who's like entire like,
oh, Doctor Disrespect?
Was it Doctor Disrespect? Like Doctor Disrespect. He was on a stream.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah.
Like, he got his messages come in. I was like, oh.
It was a cinematic moment.
It was so cinematic. Okay, so this is guy. This is gamer streamer guy, right? I've really watched like two reels on this, by the way.
That's how I get my information. So.
Yeah, right. And then basically, yeah. So he looks so.
Oh.
He already looks.
And his name is Dr. Disrespect. Like,
and
what were you thinking?
He was basically messaging minors in a not so friendly way. Yeah. Not bullying, but in a not so. Yeah, probably. I don't know. And then his entire career was. He was on a stream.
Yeah.
And there were thousands of people watching him. Mm-hmm. And his entire career derailed during that time. Like, he was getting messages in from, like, his Twitter, his management team are like, well, what are you doing? Where you at? Like, yeah.
If I can find you the clip, I have to show it to you. It's actually cinematic. You see all the life like drained from his face.
Literally.
What was the messages about? Like,
I don't know. What were the messages about?
Some like Twitch like moderator revealed that there were like whisper messages within like the platform to an underage individual. And then he tweeted about it and just like, this is a real thing that's happening. I have I think, I don't know whether he has screenshot, but like I have proof of it or something like that. And then it basically led to the streamer guy just getting the message on stream. And then, oh my god, he, like, Dr. Disrespect tweeted me and just like, yeah, I did it.
Yo!
But, and then he later edited it saying that, like, yeah, I messaged a girl, not an, he went from, I messaged an underage individual to, and edited the tweet.
Yeah.
To, yeah. I messaged the girl, I'm just like,
did you
wow.
Not stop it? Oh,
so, like, yeah, so he's definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
His career's over.
Yeah. Anyways, next!
Which famous mythological creature did Freud equate the castration complex to?
Which famous what?
Greek mythological creature. Close, but not.
the other version of a chimera.
What's the other version?
I don't know. There's another one. I can't remember.
Oh, like a griff?
Yeah, like a griffin. Yeah.
No, not a griffin.
It's think of specific characters, not like
Minotaur.
Minotaur is not a character, right? it's a species within the Greek myth. Like, think of a character. We all know this person.
Like the Percy Jackson guy.
Whoopsies! She was in Percy Jackson. Yes.
I don't know anything about Greek.
Medusa.
Oh,
I know her. I know her.
Told you.
A gorgon.
A gorgon.
So Freud equated decapitation because of Medusa's head. He equated that to castration, and argued that the terror of Medusa was the reflection of the castration complex in the young boy. So what he's saying is like, the fear of Medusa turning you into stone is basically the same as a young boy's castration anxiety. But yeah. On what basis? Why? What? Also,
he is very into the Greek mythology.
The thing is, do you turn into stone after it gets chopped off? Like,
I mean,
do you lose every
fear,
function?
I guess, but that's about
it. That kind of makes sense, actually.
But like, still, that has a sense of the
how is it related? Like, exactly. It's too random. Like,
Sigmund Freud, you have loved Percy Jackson.
He compared Medusa's hair, which is all snakes.
The snakes, yeah.
To pubic hair, that symbolically, he said that symbolically, the hair was hiding the horrors lying beneath.
Wait, it was hiding?
Hiding
the horror.
Hiding
the horrors. Guys, I think.
Yeah. Oh my god, I heard hiding the horrors.
I heard that too.
Horrors.
Guys, I think Freud was scared of sexual intimacy at this stage.
Incel.
Too much time. Like,
degenerate.
Like, you only catastrophize and think this much about something if you're afraid of it. And the fact that he's thought about it so much and it considers whatever's lying underneath pubic hair to be a horror.
What if he just hates his penis?
I think so. I think he's like.
What if he had like body dysmorphia?
You should have said it.
Wait, what did you say it again? No. Hannah, say it.
The mic.
Hannah, I'll kick you out of stop coming if you don't say it.
No, so this means he doesn't shave.
Oh!
No, guys, we're already threatening.
Did they shave back then?
Huh?
Was shaving a thing back then?
I actually don't think it was. I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about like 1800s. I don't know why.
Like,
I know
what if he just hated his penis?
Huh?
What if he just hated his penis?
I think it's like it stemmed. Okay, let's psychoanalyze it. I think it stemmed from the fact that he hated his penis as well. And that's why he's projecting all of this onto other people and being like, because I hate my penis and I have fears, that means all of you do too. Because he wanted to feel normal, guys. He didn't want to be one of the other girls. Okay.
Do we know for sure if he hated his penis?
It sounds like it.
It sounds like it. See, I said I think. Oh, I said I think. Okay. It's more evidence than Freud has ever had, though. Anyways, next, final question. Which famous Renaissance individual did Freud write an essay on?
What? Famous Renaissance painter?
Not Beyonce.
Icon.
Icon, such an icon.
These are so hard.
Extreme icon.
Will we know?
Yeah.
You would 100% know this person.
The Renaissance?
Yeah.
Was
Da Vinci part of the Renaissance?
Yes. Do you want to say that into the mic, please?
Was Da Vinci part of the Renaissance?
Yes, sir. I was going to give you a clue about the Ninja Turtles if you didn't get it.
Oh,
but
he wrote a thing on Da Vinci?
Yeah, bros. So he wrote an essay on Leonardo's account of being attacked by a bird as an infant. Freud interpreted the bird as a vulture. Basically, there was a mistranslation from Da Vinci. What did he write? In Italian?
Italian,
Latin?
I think. Or Latin.
It could have Latin. I feel like Latin died out by that time. Anyways, so there was a misinterpretation. Mistranslation, sorry. And Freud interpreted the bird as being a vulture and said this memory was a childhood fantasy about sucking on the mother's nipple.
Here we go again.
I actually read this and understood this though, right? Okay, so basically, ancient Egypt, right?
Wow. Let it go.
So basically, in ancient Egypt, the mother form is seen as a vulture. Okay? But the vulture also has a penis. It has both motherly and fatherly things. So basically, the ancient Egyptians believed that vultures were only female. There were no male vultures. Therefore, all vultures were mothers. And in order to reproduce, they would have also had to have male genitalia as well. Okay? That's fine. So the person...
One of the more normal things we've heard so far.
So the person who translated Da Vinci's dream translated this bird as a vulture. Now, Freud took the one thing he could connect vultures to, which was ancient Egypt, this entire theory about, like, you know, vultures being a mother. So he was attacked by his mother. No. He took that as a, like, it was a fantasy about sucking on his mother's nipple. So it's like there's no correlation there as well. But it turns out Leonardo originally meant a small kite. So a kite is a smaller bird. It's a bird of prey. It doesn't really scavenge like vultures do, and it's not seen as a mother in ancient Egypt. So that means Freud's entire theory
is wrong.
It's nothing.
Yeah. It's rubbish, really.
This entire
essay that Freud wrote was based on one word.
Vulture?
Yeah, which wasn't even the word.
Yeah, which wasn't even the right bird. Like,
it's not even, yeah, literally. It's not his fault. It was the fault of the person who translated the text. But also, I need the ability to write
an essay based on one word.
It's giving philosophy.
It's giving...
If this was a question, answer it.
Yeah.
Turn in a blank page, 100%. Done.
Dude. If we have that ability, we could get through psychology. I'm serious. Like, that's all psychology is. Anyways, that was the final comment Ryan had on this document was, how do I cleanse my brain?
Yeah, no, that's literally what I was, like, thinking when I was watching videos about this man.
I just remember the Freud story my friend told me.
Good.
There was a period in time where, like, okay, so, like, people didn't know where, like, eel genitalia was.
I have information about this as well.
Yeah, because my friend just told me about. Actually, my partner told me about this.
Okay.
It was what was it? Like he ended up cutting open 300 eels.
none of
them are male because there's no male genitalia in all of these eels. But it turns out that they only grow male genitalia in a different like weather.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'm just like after 300 eels, just like, oh, I finally give up again.
Yeah. So no, because the last podcast we had, we also talked about this slightly, and we were like, how do eels have sex? Do eels have gonads? Exactly. I'm so glad you brought this up because I was going to bring it up like straight after you stopped talking. So thank you. Thank you, Ryan.
I wrote down here in my notes, in 1876, Freud spent 4 weeks at this zoological research station dissecting hundreds of eels in an inconclusive search for their male reproductive organs.
Why is this a story we all know?
Yeah. Why eels as well? Like,
because it was a hot topic at the time, apparently.
But also, it's like, look at an eel.
Like, yeah, like
they don't look like a fish.
And why, after trying like 10, why did he do hundreds?
Like, you have to be sure. I don't know.
After the 300 ones, he's like, okay, I finally know.
Okay,
you know what's so ironic about this? This guy, he barely used empirical evidence for any other of his theories. But here, he was so hell-bent on trying to find evidence for how eels reproduce. Guys, I'm done.
All right. We're gonna wrap up. But before that, we've got some bonus questions.
All Real?
No, not real.
Okay.
Let's see if you're in.
I'm done.
What is the term for relating to or exhibiting infantile sexual tendencies in which the genitals are not yet identified as the sole or principal sexual organs, nor coitus as the goal of erotic activity?
Polymorphism perversity.
That's
cool. Something. Okay.
We'll give it to you.
Polymorphic perversity?
If you can say the entire thing, we'll give you an imaginary point.
Is it not polymorphism perversity?
Complex?
Not quite. Very close.
The words are
polymorphic. Nope. Polymorphic perversity?
Polymorphic
perversism.
This is frustrating. You're closer. Who wants this imaginary point?
I don't know. What other versions of this is possible?
Just the first word.
Polymorphism.
No, we don't get the point.
No, come on.
Polymorphous perversity. Polymorphous perversity.
Next.
What are the two instances occurring in infants that show infantile sexuality?
Oh, thumb sucking.
And?
And?
Damn it.
And? Dun dun.
Oh, this is the only one I remember.
Are you playing the Kahoot theme song now?
Wait. Thumb sucking and... This is not helping.
This is stressful.
This is the whole... Good catch. This is the whole point.
Thumb sucking and...
Hint. It's a hyphenated word.
Suddenly horny.
No reason for being.
Oh horny. My god! No, I forgot the name.
Come on, guys. We were talking about this.
I know, but we've been talking about a lot of things.
Sorry, I got distracted by your dream, so I forgot everything.
Okay. That was the best part of this podcast. Oh my god! What was it called?
We'll give you 10 seconds.
Arousal, come on.
Ten.
I genuinely don't know.
Eight,
autoeroticism.
Oh, you were close again.
I said arousal.
Next. Do you want to say this one?
Right. What was the name of the dream that led to Freud's analysis and theory of wish fulfillment?
Iga's dream?
Something? No, so close.
Irma's dream. Irma's fulfillment. Irma's... Wish? I don't know.
Irma's something.
What does it start with?
R.
That didn't help. Yeah. That made it worse, actually.
To be so real, though, like, it's how she responded to something. How she responded to the treatment.
Irma's rejection?
Nice!
Imaginary point to you.
Yay! I win this imaginary game.
Now I know too much about Freud. Like, I know all these, like...
Write down, bro.
I'm not going to remember any of this.
I'll remember the
All right, emails. next. According to Freud, what are the two primary parts / aspects of a dream?
Come on,
I
guys.
Know this.
We did this.
The plot.
The manifest and the latent.
Yeah!
I remember this.
Good.
I remember this manifesting.
Yes, sir. All right, next.
What was the nickname that Freud gave to a patient whose case study was
Rat
published?
Man.
Damn!
Sorry.
Let's go.
That's the only one I remember.
Okay, come on. This one we just
talked about. We just talked this.
No, yeah. Dora,
which
you got right.
Famous Greek mythological creature
did
Freud explain this question?
Mango is the mythological creature.
I'm giving that to Brian.
Did you say Van Gogh?
Yeah. I didn't finish.
Let him cook. All right, as we're done. Anyways, this is the MUPA Education Subcommittee signing off. My name was Arati.
My name is Ryan. FYI, Brian has 3 imaginary points, and Hannah has 1.
Yay! I know more about Freud.
I don't know if that's
a
I don't know if there's something to brag about. But yes.
My name is Brian.
My name is Hannah. And bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Yippee.